Welcome to Traveling Inside Out. This is Alina, your host. Bună dimineața, Andra! Este ora 10 și 2 minute. Good morning, Andra. This time I said to just say it in Romanian how I would actually say it to you. Because as much as we switch to English from time to time, this is always in, I think, maybe most of the time, more often than not, it's in Romanian.
That is absolutely true. And yes, that's how you usually say it to me. Even the tone is like that, and I love it. So yeah, good morning. Bună dimineața, Alina. It's 5 p.m. here, so for me it's evening, but it's good to, well, be here again this morning with you.
I want to praise myself for a second. Usually we do this in my morning and it's your afternoon, so you kind of lived your day. But I have to say, I've been to the gym, I did some laundry, I did some folding, like I've done some stuff today. And I'm 100%, I'm aiming to go for a nap as soon as we end this.
Have a break in the meantime, right? Divide your day into that. No, I support that. That's good.
like a proper housewife. They don't know that we also nap, you know. Without having kids. When you have kids, that's a whole nother level of,
yeah, the naps are for kids then.
Anyway, so I wanted to tell you that I had updates. And I had updates that I was supposed to give you last time, and I didn't. But on top of some of the updates that you know, I have updates you don't know. Okay. Whoever didn't listen to our first episode of the year, and then the bonus episode, is when we shared what are our expectations of the year. Let's see. So we kind of made like bingo cards for each other, in which you said what you think is going to happen for me this year, and I said what I think is going to happen for you this year. But then I also mentioned in December that I hope that my husband is going to get me a Christmas card, and he didn't. So I felt like for whoever is following this and cares for like a second, he didn't. And I told him this after I didn't get one. I told him, and I was like, you should get two this coming year. And he thinks I'm joking. So stay tuned for December when once again I'm gonna get him a postcard, like Christmas card, and he won't.
And he doesn't.
This can be like a running joke for each to come. Let's see in which year of the marriage will my husband finally. And because he doesn't listen to this podcast, he has no idea. Like he doesn't
know that he is now the villain in this podcast. Like,
no, he does not. I ask him, how come he's not listening to the podcast? And he's like, because I usually don't listen to podcasts, so it's weird to just start with yours. And I'm, that's literally how you start with mine.
I'm your like, wife. Fine. Support me. Yes.
But then might as well. Yeah. But the funny bit with the postcard is that I did send you one. And tell me, Andra, when did you get it? So just so you know, I sent it the beginning of December, and I sent three postcards, one to you, one to my mom, and one to a friend in Iceland. And my mom received it, I think, just few days before Christmas, like a week before Christmas. So I think it got to her in like 3 weeks. Then my friend in Iceland got it somewhere mid-January. And tell me, when did you get it?
For me, it was like mid-February. So it's so funny to me that your mother, who's in the same country as me, she got it like really fast. And I mean, it is probably worth mentioning for whoever is really curious that I live in the countryside in Romania, but it's not like the main road crosses like right in front of my house. So I'm not in the mountains. I'm just,
yeah,
you know,
they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, because because there are villages in Romania that are really secluded. They are really somewhere up. Forgotten by civilization, kind of a thing.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, I'm not that remote, and like, you know, a courier van passes by my house every day, so it's not like it's not accessible. It's just somehow it feels like I live in a different dimension and there's a portal and like these posts are like, seriously, every time I get mail, it's like it comes like months later and I'm like, what is happening? I don't understand. But I did get it and thank you for that. Even though it came like,
you're welcome.
So
next time, yeah, next time I have to send it like beginning of November. That's what I'm understanding. That's my understanding of it. The latest, beginning of November, basically.
Yeah, yeah. For Halloween, you send me postcards for Christmas. For around Christmas, you send me postcards for Easter, and then you know, so on.
Exactly. Another update that I wanted to say is for you can kind of see blurred over here the Trinidad flag. I did cook. And I feel very ashamed by the fact that I kept trying to explain to you what it is. And I was like, it's like a stew. And I'm like, after I finished recording, I was like face palming the hell out of myself because okay. It's called curry goat. It's curry goat.
It's curry okay, so
it's curry. So I don't know. The term curry escaped me for some reason. I feel bad. But I made it.
Okay, wonderful. I
made it.
I'm very curious.
I have put a little bit too much oil, which was not good. I did follow my husband's parents' recipe, but I also went on because they weren't very good. You know how, at least in my case, my grandma, when I was asking her for a recipe, she's like, you put enough flour, a feeling. It was a feeling, right? So they kind of gave me a recipe on a feeling kind of a thing, which I don't have, obviously, because I've never cooked rigot before. So I follow the recipe, like kind of the instructions from online. There's like a lady that she has Trinidadian recipes and so on. So other than the fact that I put too much oil and it was a bit too spicy for my liking, it was really good. I sent pictures to his parents and they congratulate me. They were like, okay. And then his dad, so next time we're coming to visit, you're going to make us. And I'm like, oh no, abort mission.
That is the problem. Yes, that is now the problem. But what did Brian do? What did your husband say about it? Did he enjoy it?
He loved it. And we are at the point when I'm doing most of the cooking in the house. And he's very honest with me. Like when he doesn't like something or he's thinking that something could have been better or like something, he's very honest with me. And he actually liked it. I told him, like, I don't think it's like your parents, but I think it's a legit curry goat, like a legit following the recipe. I had the ingredients and stuff like that. So that was thick.
Damn, very nice. I'm proud of you.
Then finally, the miracle from God, all the gods in the world, happened, and I got my green card.
Yay, I didn't know that. Yes.
Yes, obviously. I will record, I think, two different podcast episodes about this because I can just give like a teaser. My green card was denied, and I started a lawsuit, which I have not seen. I haven't said this before on the podcast. I started a lawsuit against USCIS. And obviously, finally, I got the green card. So more information in a future episode about how all of that came about. And
how much it cost and everything.
Have my green card. Yeah. And the money and the stress of the all of that. And we were talking, this was, I think, the AI prediction for me. About starting like a new hobby or something.
Terms.
And yes, so I didn't start a new hobby. I went back to an old hobby, which is crocheting, which I love a lot. But I started a project, which I'm aiming to make a blanket. So for whoever doesn't know, there's such a pattern that is called granny squares, and it's basically there can be all different templates for a granny square, but I'm using the same template except I'm changing the colors and all that. So I've been working on this blanket and it's supposed to be one granny square per day. But knowing me, I'm usually doing like more granny square. I'm forcing to keep the same number of days with the same number of squares, but I'm doing more squares in a day and maybe none in other day and so on. But I'm still keeping track of how many days. So basically, watch this, because somewhere in autumn I'm supposed to have that freaking blanket. Or by winter. I would say by winter or so I should have the blanket.
Right in time watch for the cold weather.
Yes, exactly.
Exciting.
And then the last thing that I was telling you, just as a an idea of what I'm looking forward to this year, is that I changed my mind of something, but I am still doing it. So long story short, I'm going to send, like, this month, and you can ask me next month, because this month I'm going to send some of my thing to either publishers or agents. I've been working on something. I'm still editing it for a little bit, but like, I'm so close to be sending stuff to publishers,
yes,
and agents. But it's so annoying because there's so much scam happening everywhere that I have to like triple check things to make sure that I'm not just gonna get scammed, you know. So that's very frustrating, that in anything that I want to do, I'm like triple checking, because like, oh no, wait, this is a scam. As soon as they as soon as I'm trying to do something and they are looking for me, I'm like, something is not, like, when you're like, hey, I want you, and I'm like, why would you want me though? Like, I'm like that.
Hey, as long and as they don't ask you for money, you know, it may be legit. When they start asking you to pay for something, then it's you know, I get suspicious. That's when I get suspicious.
That's a good thing, right? That's a good thing when they start asking for money. So, yeah. Those are my... Yes,
they are looking forward to hearing what happens with that, really. Like, it's a big step.
It was supposed to happen many moons ago. And now I'm like, let's just do it. I'm like psyching myself up. I'm like, just go for it.
Yeah, just
do that goddamn thing.
You might have to send so many emails until somebody actually, like, until you find an agent or a publisher that wants to sign with you. So just go ahead and start, you know, just throw it out there. See what happens.
And then the last thing that I want to mention that is kind of switch to our recommendations for the month is I have put a stop to my therapy going, and I'm going to record another episode in which I'm going to kind of give some conclusions after 5 months of therapy that I've been in. And so for whoever is interested, because let's not forget, it's traveling inside out. So I haven't recorded a lot episodes about the inside part in a while. So this is going to come as well, my conclusions. And it's so funny because my last 5 minutes of therapy, after I've done 5 minutes, I cried. And my therapist was like, oh, Alina. I mean, she was kind of tearing up as well. And then she was like, I told her, like, I did so well, I didn't cry. And she's like, I guess it was needed, you know. So I will probably go back to therapy, but for now I needed a break. That being said, so I have two recommendations that are, I feel a little bit silly recommending this because I'm so small compared with the people that I'm going to recommend. But in any case, if some people are interested and maybe they didn't hear about them and so on, might as well be like, from me, I'm recommending them. So number one, I do have to say that I have been following, it's a YouTube channel. I'm pretty sure she's coming from TikTok, but I'm not on TikTok. So I'm following her on YouTube. And the name and name of the account is Dr. Julie, and she's a psychologist.
Okay.
But she has these shorts that are so, she just gives examples of how anxiety feels or how, but it's so colorful and so relaxing at the same time. And she's giving visual examples, like, for example, like, you know, she's pouring some water into a cup and she's giving the visual example of how anxiety feels compared to this. She has a lot of these kind of short videos. And I really love the fact that she's basically dumping it down that everybody can understand what it means. And then she's talking about being manipulated in a relationship and having anxiety, having like a lot of things. For this interesting, I was just saying that she has over 1.6 million subscribers. Wow. So that's why I'm like, look at me, it's able to look at someone that is already, you know, famous. But like, I'm just saying, for whoever hasn't heard of her, might as well check out that channel. And then the second thing is, it's not a recommendation, is it more, I'm curious if you knew, because I don't know, you tell me how you feel about it. So obviously, Jon Stewart is very known as a person. He decided to go back on Daily Show. And he has a show once a week on a Monday. And then the rest of the week is hosted by the other people working on the Daily Show. This last Monday, he talked about the problem with Israel and Hamas and all that, which I'm not going to get into, and I'm not interested in touching any of that. But the last part of the segment, he talked about his dog who passed away, and he was crying. Like, the coming from someone who I have been in the public of that show, I can imagine how confused people were, because he's kind of joking in the beginning, but then you see him tearing up and then choking and like proper crying. And I've watched it like on TV, but then I watched the YouTube video of it, and under it, in the comment section, I think it's such a beautiful thing, because everybody's talking about their pets that they've lost. And so I don't know how you would feel about that, if you would feel like it's too much for you to watch that, or if you feel like it could do you some extra, you know, good, if I can say it like that, to watch. But I think, as a white man in his whatever old age he is, and he's known for being one of the main, or it used to be, and now kind of back, of the night shows, and to show this kind of emotion for a pet. Yeah, for a pet to pass away. I think it's like so good, man. I'm like so proud for this to happen. Yes, expose us to this, because we need this. So what's your take? Yeah. What's your take on that?
I mean, as you know, like last year I lost one of my dogs, and it really broke me as well. So I think if I was to listen to it back then, around the time I lost him, it might have been a bit much for me. But you know, now, because I've been able to like heal and come to terms with it, I would like to see it. I would be in a position, in a more appropriate position to watch it now, because I could relate to him without like immediately feeling like the grief over flooding me, overwhelming me. So I would actually, I would like to see that. And I do like to, because you mentioned the comment section, I do like to read comments from people. Sometimes people are so, they open up so much also in the comments, and they're so, you know, just vulnerable, and they own it. Like, it's, I don't know, I think it's very honest, and I so authentic, and I like that as well. So I might just watch that. And now it would be easier for me to watch it.
He says something, I mean, not to spoil it for you, but I'm just gonna, you know, share it for our listeners. He does say that he is wishing for people to find that one dog, that like to have in their life that one dog that is going to change, you know, their life in a way. And then so in the comments, you're going to see people saying like, I do have, or I did have, or like, you know, things like that. So again, it felt silly because it's John Stewart, for fuck's sake, you know, but yeah. This specific moment, I feel like I wanted to recommend it. So it's kind of like one recommendation is hard because again, it's Daily Show, you know, so, but I did wanted to mention this because I feel it's something that we have not seen or not that often on TV. And yeah. I loved being able to see that.
Yeah.
What is your recommendation?
For me, I mean, you had two, and I like the fact that the first one was a woman, because mine is also, it's a book written by a woman. It's a novel, because, you know, Women's Month, we want to celebrate women's this month. Why not? We want to celebrate them all the time, but March is an even better occasion. It's a book I read a couple of years ago. It's called Trust Exercise, and it was written by Susan Choi, if I think that's how you pronounce her name. It's a very interesting, it's an easy to read novel, so it's not like super complicated, but I really like her style. It kind of mixes, it talks a bit about mixing fiction with reality, and how the inspiration that you get, and how, you know, the ethics, on the ethics of using people's real lives and kind of fictionalizing them, and how much do you have the right to do that? Do you have the right to take people's stories, their own life experiences, and kind of like distill them in and turn them into fiction, kind of for your own, you know, in your own, to turn it into your own story? But it's not a lot about that. It's just it touches on it. The story is, I'm not gonna give spoilers or anything. The second part that I really liked is that I could relate to it, because the story is really about teenagers. So it's, you know, the main point is about, I guess it's kind of like a little teenage love story ish. But the setting is this high school where they go to acting classes, and in acting classes, they have these trust exercises that they have to do to bond and to, you know, because on stage you need to improvise a lot. And I can relate to that so well, because I, you know, I finished a film school. I didn't do any acting classes, but I had a lot of my university mates and roommates that I lived with. They were in the acting school, and they were telling me about these trust exercises and how vulnerable, emotionally vulnerable they became doing that, because they had to share and to show so many raw emotions in front of their professors, in front of their, you know, their classmates. And for me, I always thought I couldn't do that. For me, I'm like, that I that's, you know, I the part of the film that I like doing is behind the camera, it's directing, it's video editing, whatever, but I couldn't really do acting in that way, because it just feels like you just have to put everything there, like on just on display, right, for everybody. And it talks a lot about that, and about, you know, how other people treat your emotions, and how it can destroy even a love story, because everybody's kind of involved in it somehow. It's interesting in that way. It's not a very complicated psychological thing at all. But, you know, for me, the style of the writing and also the context was very interesting, because, like I said, I saw that in my friends and in my university classmates.
Think so. It's, yeah, that's, sounds like a really great read. I think it's interesting to, because you talked about the actors and so on, I think it's interesting to think about how, like, an actor has to kind of basically tap into their experience in order to get to an emotion that they are supposed to translate in whatever, yeah, being theater or film.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand, just like a side note, is like, how great are some young actors that are very clearly have not lived or have not have time to truly process life from that perspective? So just as a side note, when you were saying this, I was remembering like how some young actors are just, I don't know, man, they are so good without, I cannot explain it to
myself. Without experiencing many things themselves, they are able to somehow convey those emotions. Yeah, I guess it's just native something that they have, or empathy, or I don't know, but it's true. It's true.
True. Okay. That being said, Andra, do you want to talk about anything? Because I have some questions, but maybe you want to talk about something. Have any to tell me? Do you have anything to ask me? Do you have anything to share?
Yeah, well, maybe
it sounds like I know what's gonna happen and I have no idea.
Maybe I should share this, because by the time this is broadcasting, I might even be away on my trip. So maybe I should, because it's also about traveling, so I can talk about my upcoming trip, and then in the next episode you can ask me and I can share all about how it was. So I'm getting ready to go on a trip to visit Cambodia, which is a big thing for me. Oh, I don't have that guide, a travel guide. So Cambodia has been on my list for ages, and probably like 12 years ago or even more, I can't remember when. I was in this library and I found this National Geographic travel guide. You know how they have like little ones for like each country. And I saw what
they had.
Yeah. I found one with Cambodia and it was like on sale. It was like really cheap. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy this, because one day I'm going there and I'm going to make this happen. This is like one of those things to manifest. I'm buying this because I'm going. So, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 years or 12, whatever. It was a while ago. So probably some of the data that's there is not accurate anymore, but it will still be a good read on the plane. So yeah, I found this tour. Because I didn't want to just do solo travel in Cambodia. I wanted to go, yeah, like with people or with a group. So I found this good deal for a group tour. And it starts in Bangkok, in Thailand. And then, you know, we cross the border on land and we're going to see Angkor Wat and the capital city, Phnom Penh. And I think we even have a day at the beach on an island. And then the tour ends in Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, where I've been to Vietnam before, but not to Ho Chi Minh City. So I'm excited about that as well. But the main, obviously, the highlight will be the Angkor Wat for me, because also, fun fact, and you probably know this about me, if not, I'm going to say it again, like when Tomb Raider, the movies came out, I was like the biggest fan. My mom had a friend at the local movie theater in my hometown. And after the movie, the first one and also the second one, but after the movie was over, you know, like they were done with projecting it, I asked my mom, like, can you go and ask if they can sell the poster to me? Because I want it in my room. I never had any posters with, like, actors or, you know, music bands. But with Angelina Jolie as Lara Croft, it was there for years. And, yeah, that woman, my mom's friend, she was like, yeah, I mean, it's the only one and I should probably not give it to you. But, well, whatever. So she gave it to my mom and I had it in my room. And then I had the second one also, when the second movie came out. So that was really something.
Time out. So time you out. Said someone from the cinema?
Yeah.
Was in Baia Mare, you said?
Yeah.
Someone from the cinema in Baia Mare had only one poster and she gave it to you?
Yeah, but it was like, you know, 2 months after the movie had
but
been
that's what, okay, listen, because I worked the job.
That's
because you're supposed to give the posters back if you, it depends how they are being placed, but I've worked in a cinema like that and I know for a fact. I have a friend that she had like her entire living room wall was like posters, but kind of like a collage. So she was asking for specific posters. And only when we had, like, if we would have five and we can be like, oh, the other one, we kind of ripped it apart. So, you know, but if you have one, you have to give it back, you know?
That's why I think that's what she said. Like,
That's amazing that you got it. That's what I'm saying. That's amazing that you got it, because I know for a fact she's supposed to give it back. You know, for a fact, that's how it was supposed to be.
I think that's what she told my mom. She was like, yeah, technically I should give this back, but you know what? Well, you can have it. I'll be whatever. In the meantime, that movie theater, it was like the old communist movie theater that we had in the city. And in the meantime, it got closed. It's shut down. It doesn't work anymore. A mall was built. There's a new fancy movie theater there. So like the old one doesn't even exist anymore. But yes, so I had that. And ever like the point was, going back to my Cambodia trip, that yeah, like the Lara Croft, the Tomb Raider movie was shot, part of it was, you know, in the Angkor Wat. And ever since I saw that, I was like, oh my God, I have to get there one day. So it's happening now.
That's so, like, that's perfect. I do have to make a note, though. Unfortunately, a lot of theaters, cinemas in Romania closed down. It's an actual, I would call it, tragedy regarding cultural, like how culture is being seen in Romania today. So yeah, it's no surprise that that one closed down, because a lot closed down all throughout the country. Coming back to Cambodia, I have to, before you continue to tell me, I have to ask you, for whoever is interested, did you need to do any sort of visa paperwork, or is something you're gonna get there? As you got it through a tour, I'm going to assume that they would be helping you with that as well. But are there any visa recommendation, or like visa anything that you have to do in advance?
Yeah, so I applied. I mean, for Romanians, you know, for Thailand, we can get a visa on arrival, so that's not a problem. With Cambodia and Vietnam, we have to apply online beforehand. So I did that. I had my approvals. You basically apply for it. You get the visa approval in 3 days. You pay the fee. It was like $36 and 20 something, I can't remember, or 26 and 30. And then when you get to the border, you have to show that approval printed, and then I guess they stamp your passport and you need to do other things, but you have to apply beforehand and they need to approve it, and then you can cross. And we're gonna cross on
Okay.
land to Cambodia and to Vietnam. So I'm actually quite curious, because they say, you know, like they take the group to the border, to the Cambodian border, then we cross on foot. And after we cross on foot, you know, another van is gonna take the entire group, and we're gonna be taken to Angkor Wat or whatever. So, yeah, we're gonna cross, I guess, with the locals, just like, you know, waiting in line, walking,
Oh,
which.
you've never done the. Now I'm realizing, because I'm like, yeah, that's what you do, but I'm like, wait, that's from my South American experience.
Right. I've done that
Oh my.
only when I crossed to Ukraine, because we have actually, in
Okay, I see.
close to my hometown, we have the border with Ukraine, and it's basically just a bridge over a big river. So I crossed into the town on the opposite side of the bridge to just go and buy sweets and to just walk around, basically. I crossed with my dad, and we just left the car there, and we were like, you know what, we're just gonna cross on foot and have our passport stamps and just buy some stuff and come back to the car, because we didn't have time to do much. We were just there passing, and we were like, yeah, let's just cross into Ukraine. We needed a passport as well, but yeah, it's the
In
only
South
time.
America, it happened. So when we cross between countries, I've crossed between countries in so many different ways that I have like a variety of experiences. But I can give like two examples. One, we were in a bus, so it wasn't a tour, it was just a bus that was going from one city to another in two different
Public
countries.
bus.
And the person from the border comes. It's kind of similar how it is. I don't know, have you ever, yeah, kind of similar how it is in Romania to Hungary. Like you buy, the person comes, ask for your ID, or like you give to the ID and then comes, checks your ID, and then you go. But then it did happen one time that everybody had to get off the bus, go and queue in the freaking line that wait, like lasted for fucking forever. And then the bus was waiting for us on the other side. So it was like, go there, stay in line for 5 million hours, and then the bus is gonna chill on the other side. You're done. Go. Because they kind of wanted to be, to make sure that you're not coming back into the bus and you haven't actually got the thing, you know? So they were like, we're gonna be over here. When you are done, you cross over, and then the bus is gonna be over there. But And I feel bad for the people who were in a personal car. Imagine being in a personal car and you're just on your way, exactly as you were saying, with local people. And then you have to wait for like 30 people get their stamp and shit. Oh, man, no.
And foreigners, and like they're confused and don't have the right papers and their bags. And like, oh, take that stuff out of your backpack because we need to see what's in there. And you're like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Yes, exactly like that. Okay. Do you want to continue or should I ask you some more questions?
You can ask me because I don't want to say too many things because I guess we can talk about it in after the tour is done.
No, but that's the point, because last time when we talked about Bali and your experience there and then in Nepal, we talked about it way after it was done. So I'm excited to give the before just as much as I can. Right. So you don't actually are not influenced because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where life is going to take you. You know what I mean? Let me ask you now. Okay, so you did say that Cambodia was on your list for a long time. You did talk about, which I have to say, I didn't know, but now that you said it, I'm like, but I see you a few times. Now that I, like, if I'm imagining in the back of my head, you kind of like her a few times. Like, when I think about it, I'm like, you do have the shorts. You do have
the tank tops, like the whole thing. Yes, yes. Now that which makes
I didn't think about until now. But again, now that you said it, I'm like, way.
Makes sense, huh? based on the movies that I watched, Xena the Warrior Princess and Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Where was Xena shot? Do we know that?
New Zealand. I think it was.
When are we gonna make it to New Zealand, Andra?
I know. There's so many things that I want to see there as well, and so many.
Okay, I have to tell you something. Do not dare go without me or before me.
Okay.
I'm gonna hate you.
It was recorded today, so it's now it's out there in the world. I cannot go without Alina. Or before.
I'm not gonna hate you. I'm not gonna hate, but I'm low-key. I think from the countries that we've been to, I am low-key envious on you because Cambodia has been on my list, or like top list for a time as well. So low-key, I have a bit of an envy on that one. Out of all of the countries that you've been to so far. Okay, so the question is, why now? Why did you decide to go now? And by now, I mean March 2024.
So I've been looking at this tour last year as well. You know, the thing is, I wanted to get to Cambodia. I wanted to go to India because, you know, we spoke about Bali and like all the yoga things that I wanted to do. And I wanted to go to India last year. And do more yoga courses and everything. But I probably mentioned this, I didn't want to travel alone. And the friends that wanted to join me, they were like, they couldn't. So I was like, you know what, if this doesn't connect, I'm just going to let it happen when the time is right. So I started looking at other things. Of course, you know, Asia has always been one of like probably my favorite destination to visit. And so I was looking at, you know, places where I can go to on my own and places that where I really want to go to, but I can't really go on my own. So then, you know, I have to either go with somebody or go on a tour. And there was this really nice tour that, you know, this travel agency has. And they also, because I also wanted to see, I heard something about the beaches of Cambodia, which are not very famous because, you know, everybody goes to Thailand for beach time, but apparently they have some really nice ones and they're kind of chill and relaxed because it's not so touristy, and I wanted to do that. And so I found this tour that also offers the beach day, and the cool thing about it is that it's kind of a budget tour, so it's cheap, and it's for people with the ages between 18 and 39, so I don't have a lot of time left, and I was like, I need to do this soon. because other travel agencies do it 18 to 29. So these guys are the only ones who can like extend it a little bit, because they understand that, you know, maybe in your 20s you're not so rich to travel just like that. And so I had this on my wish list, and it wasn't, you know, I wanted to go in winter, but winter was a little bit tricky for me. And so I found this deal. They basically just sent emails saying, you know, this tour that's on your wish list, we now have a big sale, big discounts for some dates. And I looked at the dates, and, you know, dates were March 2024. And then it was later, a bit later in April or May, but that's already a bit too, it's too close to the monsoon season. And I didn't want to extend it too far. And I was like, you know what, March is okay. March is okay, because it's going to be super hot, but it's still not so humid. So that's why now, because basically I found a good deal. It was kind of a last minute, but then I realized that I was like, yeah, this is such a big discount, I'm going to buy it. But then, because it's kind of close to the starting date, the plane tickets are more expensive. So in the end, I'm not sure if I made such a good deal, but you know,
it's always we keep lying to each other, to ourselves, that we find a great deal. There's never, it's either accommodation or whatever you need to expensive, or the plane. Like, it's the same how you have these cheap flights within Europe that can be like $20, but then you get the plane, like euros. I'm sorry, I'm in the United States now, I'm talking in dollars. And then you get there, you know, like, well, the accommodation is not that cheap.
Yeah, and then a pizza is $2. Yeah, you spend more on your first meal than on the plane ticket. Yeah, I know.
Exactly. Okay, so that's actually one of the things that I wanted to ask you. Do you know, is there a season in Cambodia? And if it is, when? Because I wanted to, that was my next question. I don't know why I'm looking here, because I have nothing marked as questions. Of these questions, I mean. So is there a high sun? Then you kind of said that it's going to be hot, and that it's before the monsoon season. That's what you said, right?
Yeah. It's not, the rainy season doesn't start until, like, I guess April. I mean, depends on the regions. Bangkok is going to be really humid, but, you know, on March is still okay. It's kind of like shoulder season. Cambodia is fine, I hear, until April. It remains to be seen with Vietnam in the southern part, because I've been in 2012 to Vietnam in the northern part, in Hanoi. It was actually April, and it was fine. It wasn't too humid. But in the south, it might be a bit closer to the rainy season now. But it's still March, so I might, you know, it's going to be hot anyway, but it's not the rainy season yet.
Speaking about Vietnam, I've never gone on tours like this type of tours. I have never done that in my entire life, but I do know, even though I have not gone on tours, I do know that usually the last day, because your tour is going from one country, going to another, and then ending in the third, usually the last day you don't have much time to explore. So are you planning on actually staying there for a while? Because you said you have never been in Hanoi, was it, in Vietnam, or what was the name?
I was in Hanoi. It ends in Ho Chi Minh City, in former.
Yeah, the other way. Yeah, exactly. So are you planning to stay there for a few days? Because I would say you don't have time to explore shit in the last day of the tour.
Yeah. I took a few extra days accommodation to see the city. I did the same, to have one extra day in Bangkok as well. I've been to Bangkok one time before, but I, you know, there's still things that I haven't seen, and I want to get a bit of, you know, rest, and hopefully I'll be able to accommodate to, you know, to adjust to the time difference a bit more before going on the long trip. And also I have a friend there from my university times. And I contacted her, and we're going to meet for a coffee, you know, before the tour starts. So that's, you know, it gives me a bit of downtime before we go with the tour. I've also haven't done trips like this with groups before. I mean, I have done, you know, day tours with a group when I was in a different destination by myself, or, you know, with my boyfriend and we wanted to take a tour. We would just join a group, and they took us, they showed us some stuff, they brought us back. But like this, I haven't before. I'm going to most likely get a roommate. You know, I'm gonna get assigned a female roommate because I'm going on my own on this trip. So yeah, because most accommodations are twin sharing rooms. I don't know who or what. I'm probably gonna be one of the oldest in this trips in this trip again because, like I said, 18 to 39. I'm 36, so probably, you know, most people my age wouldn't really join that group like that. And it's yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see who is going to be there, what kind of people. It's probably gonna be if it's younger people, they're probably gonna be like party party every night, whatever. So I don't expect I'll be the you know, I'll be very much into those activities because I'm old and I get tired at 8:30, and that probably that's why they make these trips have a certain age requirement, but it's okay.
Yeah. I see. So yeah, I wanted to see something funny about the age thingy. Long story short, I was watching an actual trial that is happening as we speak in the United States. And so during the trial, there's an expert that comes on. So this is not a joke. This is an actual thing that happened. There's an expert that is coming to testify. And so they want to talk about for how long he has done his work and job so we can see how many years he was in the industry or whatever. And so he's saying, so when did you start? What was a blah, blah, you know? And the guy says, 1985. And so the lawyer says, so like 30 years, me born in 1986. I'm like, yes, 30 years, exactly. And then the expert was like, no, more close to 40. And I'm like,
Oh damn it. Yeah. Oh.
was like, yes, 30. So I just remember this talking about age. Okay, so that being said, what about free time? Like, how much free time are you going to have within the entire tour? Because I know it normally, you know, like you get there, but then you also have a bit of a free time and stuff like that. Is it how do you feel about the free time that you would get?
I don't actually know how much. So the tour is 10 days, you know, with the starting date and ending date. So basically we have 8 full days, and in those 8 full days there's quite a bit of traveling. I know we have, you know, the day at the beach, it's basically like leisure time, so you can, you know, chill, do whatever. And then I think probably 2 more afternoons where we have kind of like free time to walk around. I think the day we get to Ho Chi Minh City and probably again in Phnom Penh in the afternoon in the capital. After, you know, we get there, they do some orientation and then you have some time to explore on your own, I think. So there's not going to be too much, which is fine because, you know, yeah, I guess it's going to be quite packed with things to do and with travel time. I expect it's going to take quite a lot of driving from one place to another because, you know, probably the roads are not going to be so great and traffic, obviously, because that part of Asia is crowded. But, you know, even that is going to be interesting.
And I have another question if you would like to share. I think you mentioned this before when we were talking about Nepal, if I'm not mistaken. The fact that you have fear of flying. And so I'm curious because even though you have constant fear of flying, you are still flying. So I'm curious if you can share what are some tricks that you do in order to cope with all of this fear? Because I know there are people who are just taking pills to sleep throughout the whole, like they're knocking themselves out. They're like, I'm going to have a drink. I'm going to have a whatever pill. I don't take pills that in that order. So I don't know the name of the pill, but they are taking something and then a drink and they are, you know, dead until arrival, basically. What are some of the things that you do in order to be able to cope with your fear?
I am better now, but it took a lot of work. There are things that I do that the things that I did are not the most important things that I did are not just during flights. I went to therapy first of all, so you know, like when I years ago I had some discussions with my therapist about it. It's basically, we got to the conclusion that it's basically an issue of control. So it's not so much any like fear of death or anything. It just feels to me that I don't have control over my body at all. I'm in this metal box and whatever happens to the metal box happens to me and I have no choice in it. So that like freaks me out on a subconscious level really badly, especially when there's turbulence, right? Because the plane is moving, so I'm shaking without wanting to shake. So what the hell? So, you know, he gave me some tips on, you know, how to keep your mind busy when you're in stressful situations. One of them is really complex. Like you start to count downwards. You start from 8,000 and you count backwards by sevens. So 8,000, then 7,000.
I could never. What?
Basically, you do that, right? Then you start, like, you can then take the pen and paper and actually, like, do the math there. And it's, you know, it keeps you busy. I've done that so many times that now I can remember, not in English, I do it in Romanian. So it's in, but now in English, it's a bit more difficult for me. Yeah, but, like, in Romanian, I don't learn it, right?
So I talk at math in any shape or form. I'm really bad at it. But math in Romanian is easier than math in English. That's
it.
Yeah.
Because we've done 12
years. Yeah, because for me, yeah, because I was raised and born in this language. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah.
So that's one of them, to keep your mind busy. Meditation has helped a lot. And meditation, I don't just do it when I'm on the plane. I do it when I'm on the plane as well. But I meditate every day for like almost 5 years now. I've been doing it every day. And not just the fear of flying, but all of my anxieties have reduced a lot. So that's, you know, something that you work on every day. But there are breathing exercises and meditation exercises that you can do when you're on the plane. And, you know, if there's turbulence, it helps to really breathe in. You know, you count to... You breathe in and you count to eight. No, you count to six. And when you breathe out, you breathe out like really a lot and you count to eight. So like it's a 6 seconds breathing in and then you pause and then eight seconds breathing out and then you pause. So that kind of relaxes the body, right? Because breathing obviously relaxes you. There's another one with like alternate nostril thing because it's a bit more complex and you have to like cover one of the nostrils and then the other. So again, it keeps your mind busy with that and not focus on the dangers, whatever, and on the perceived dangers. And you do that. I tried one time before I went to therapy and I was still kind of bad. I tried to take a sleeping pill on a transatlantic flight, and it was really bad because there was some turbulence, and it was right kind of like around the time I was about to fall asleep. And then because I was so stressed out, I couldn't fall asleep, but I was really sleepy and I kept waking up because of the shaking and waking up, and it was I just felt horrible because I couldn't sleep, I couldn't be alert, I just felt dizzy and stressed, and it was like the worst combination ever. So I don't do that anymore. And then, you know, like I watched many documentaries about how, you know, it's safe. And then even if something happens, like the plane can still glide and it's like the ship on water and the turbulence is not so dangerous, but you know, the subconscious mind does its thing. So 1 in 3 passengers is afraid of flying. It's perfectly normal. Everybody has some issues. I found that if I'm embarrassed and I try to hide it, it's even worse. So, you know, if I'm sitting next to somebody who is a little bit more sensitive or, you know, also afraid of flying, I tell them like, look, please, I'm afraid if it's turbulence, they're going to see me like a bit more stressed, but you know, it's just how I react. It's fine. But, you know, don't be afraid for me, or, you know, if it affects you, I'm going to try to keep it down. We can laugh about it. We can talk about it together if you want to. We can hold hands. I had at some point, I think I was holding hands with this woman that was sitting next to me, and she was really like shaking as well. And we were kind of making fun of each other, and it was great. So, you know, I try to kind of talk to the person sitting next to me, so they, if I feel really stressed out. One time, and luckily I was sitting next to a person that I knew because we had switched seats. One time there was this, like we were flying, it was a short flight, but the plane kind of got into this, like, I don't know what it's called, but like the plane just like fell a little bit, but it was just a second. But I got so scared, I actually grabbed onto the guy that I knew, and he wasn't even such a close friend, but I just like instantly grabbed onto him. I didn't even know him that well, but then I had to apologize. He was, of course, he was laughing, and he was like, yeah, it's fine, if you want to do that again, you can, I'm here. Like, I'm sorry, it was instinctual.
Yeah, exactly, it's just the reaction that you had. Well, okay, I don't know if there's anything else that you want to share, because I think that would kind of be it for me. I am very much looking forward to hear about your travels. Try to keep some things for the podcast to surprise me with some info. If I want to know everything at the same time as it happens. Okay. But try to keep some for, I mean, you can share pictures and videos and stuff with me personally, but like keep some of the stories, maybe something for the pod to see my live reaction to some things. I don't know. I'm just saying.
That sounds good. Also, okay, I probably won't have a lot of time to tell you about everything or time.
Yeah, because you're going to be go, 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 go. But I'm just saying, until next time we're recording, okay, you might get the time. That's what I meant. In the moment.
After it's finished. Okay.
Yeah. So anything else that you might want to add?
No, I think that's it. I will let you know how it goes, but hopefully it will be okay. And they don't all call me the old woman of the group because I fall asleep at 9 p.m. We'll see. And if they do, I will have had a good night's rest. The next day in the morning, I'll be like, yeah, let's go. Let's get on the road. And they'll be all like, oh, God, we drank so much last night.
And which makes me even more excited to see, because, you know, you expect something and then something else way. So it'll be funny that everybody's going to be 38. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? So let's see what happens. I wish you safe travels and fully be as present as you can in the moment, because we tend to not do that, but at least me. And yeah, looking forward to hearing what has happened. I don't know how to say the thing. I don't know how to use the word in a future episode. So thank you so much again, Andra, for joining me on Traveling Inside Out. Wait, I forgot. Let me put this one more time for whoever is interested. Maybe this time it's going.
I will do shorts. I will. I promise.
From the trip. So if you're curious, there you go.
Yes. They will be there. I will do that.
And mine is obviously my name, and I have been postcards. Last time is from Utah, and I've been to a museum in New York. I want to do a short about that as well, and other things that are gonna happen. We'll see. There are some trips coming. Maybe, hopefully, I don't know. Things are complicated in my life right now. But anyway, thank you, Andra. Thank you one more time for joining me, and have the best time of your life, or at least as close as possible to the best time. Does that sound legit?
Yeah, it sounds great. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be here.
This concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening and for reviewing Traveling Inside Out. If you want to get in touch with me, send an email to podcast@alinaigrad.com. And remember, your outer journey begins with inner work. Until next time, bye.